Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Oh, it's so great to be back from the Combine in Indianapolis, Indiana. My thanks to Southwest Airlines for the safe flight. However, note to pilot, when people are literally frozen in the back of the plane, you might want to turn the air down. I'm not one of these guys, Steve. I hate people, the travel guy that complains, look, you got to go. You got to fly in a plane. What's your problem? You're in a tube going 600 miles an hour. Are your expectations a little too high? I'm not the guy complaining that when the internet's down, okay? I don't do that. It was not down. But that aside,
I would complain about that.
Yeah.
A lot of other things I wouldn't. That one I would.
Well, you would not have been comfortable, my man. I was frozen. And other people were too. Like, everybody was like, hey, man, can you do something about the – it's really cold. It's cold, you know? And, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, we said something to the pilots a while ago. I don't know why it hasn't been – because as far as I know, and I'm friends with a pilot, I think they control the temp, if I'm not mistaken. But they must have, like, different heaters up there in the cockpit, man, because, I mean, holy cow. Anyway, but made it safely. It was warm. The weird thing is it was warmer, I think, in Indianapolis than it was in Tampa while I was gone. Now, it's going to turn about 20 degrees Fahrenheit by the time you hear this podcast on, you know, on Wednesday or whatever. But, you know, overall, it was extremely balmy and kind of weird it being that warm, quite frankly. But we had a chance to talk to everybody. We'll get into our discussions with Jason Light, with Todd Bowles. But first, and this happened early in the morning on Tuesday, and not unexpected, the Bucs released Shaquille Barrett. And he's going to be – they technically can't really let him go until the start of the new league year, which is March 13th, about 4 p.m. But he would be designated a post-June 1st designation that will make – giving them the ability to save about $5 million on this year's cap, the 2024 cap. And even though this was inevitable and, you know, Shaq sort of, you know, he spoke about it in the off season, right after the final game, he goes, look, there's a possibility. I've been around for a minute. I know my contract and my production, and you've got some promising young guys that could play a factor into it, but I'd still love to be here. Well, he's not here. And they called him on Friday, Jason Light did. And according to Jason, it was harder on him. You know, like Shaq Barrett was more sort of concerned about how tough it was on Jason than getting the news that he got. But, you know, he just said that, you know, letting them know he didn't want to make that call. He said at the same time, I you know, they wanted to because they wanted him to be a free agent before free agency starts. So you get a jump on all the other teams and all the other players that are going to come out if you're in fact, you know, have decided to play or not. I don't know that he has or that he hasn't, but that was something that that Jason Light mentioned. And, you know, and Jason said all the right things. I mean, he is an incredible person. And Steve, I have not seen – this is really weird to me too because, you know, I've watched all these Hall of Famers plus Simeon Rice and others you know, JPP and so forth. There, I have never seen a guy burst onto a scene. He had been, I think, 5 years with the Denver Broncos as sort of like their rotational, you know, outside linebacker. And they had Von Miller and they had DeMarcus Ware, and, you know, it was hard to crack that lineup. But he came in here on a make-it contract, a one-year, $4 million makeup contract, because sort of like Baker Mayfield, if you will. And he went absolutely bananas. He had 19 sacks in his first year with the Bucs. Made the Pro Bowl. Like, it was incredible. It was like, dude was getting 2 sacks a game, and there were big plays, and he was getting fumbles and all this stuff. We're like, wow, did they just like find Lawrence Taylor sitting on a bench in Denver? You know, like what happened here? And unfortunately for him, he got, you know, he went to the Pro Bowl, he got paid. I think they may have franchised him at that point, but regardless, since then, that was 2019, he's only had one double-digit sack season. He had 10 sacks. I think it was the year after the Super Bowl, maybe, I want to say. But there's no question that, like, that on that Super Bowl run, him and, you know, really JPP put so much pressure on Aaron Rodgers with the help of Vita Vea pushing the pocket there. And then when they played Kansas City in the Super Bowl, I thought Shaq was superb. They chased Patrick Mahomes all over that place, and he was relentless. And just, you know, an incredible guy, too. Like, that's the thing. This is the part of the business, Steve, and you've been around hockey. You've been around these places. Like, you hate to see good guys get cut. You understand it. But by the same token, look what he's been through. He tore his Achilles, you know, last year. I don't even think it's been a year since his two-year-old daughter drowned. You know, like all these things that he's been through, and you're like, you got to say, yeah, you know what? You're not going to, you know, we got to lower your cap number. We got to get some salary cap space, yada, yada. And that's the end of it. That's it. And he may never play again, or he may decide to resume his career. But it's just that suddenness, you know, you're still a young man. Like, he's 31, I think. And to kind of be done with your life. So I'm not suggesting Shaq could do a lot of things, obviously. But football is his thing. You know, that is his business and has been. And it's so abrupt and so quick. It's a young man's game. Never mistake that. Like, the guys that play it, for the most part, that play it at a consistent level and dominate, they're young players. They're not Shaq Barrett's age, especially on defense.
No, and in football, it's different because the contracts aren't guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in hockey, you may get cut. You may, you know, we've seen Lightning players here that, you know, Vinny LeCavalier was bought out and then went and played elsewhere. And
sure.
Kevin Shattenkirk was a player, the Lightning, that had been bought out. So Lightning got him cheaper here because he was getting paid somewhere else. But in football, those contracts aren't guaranteed, fully guaranteed. Parts of your contract are.
That's right.
And as soon as your production dips and now you're not worth what's the non-guaranteed part of your contract, then you're done. I mean, and it's absolutely a young man's game because you're paying top dollar for the top players, which means you got to go cheap for the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where, you know, as soon as your production dips,
yeah,
you know, it's a cold world. And it's not that general managers want to do that.
No, or no, they're almost forced to.
Yeah. You know, as he said, you know, Shaq was almost more, you know, hey, I want to make sure this isn't hard on you. Because, you know, Jason Light didn't want to cut Shaq Barrett.
No.
Mm-mm. You know, it's not personal.
No, and it never is, but you know, like Todd Bowles, who's his head coach, probably a little closer to Shaq, he said, you know, it's tough because you have the personal side. You've known guys for 5 years. You got relationships you built with them. And he goes, and those are never going to end. But the business side of putting the product on the field and the money elsewhere and bringing younger guys or making calls like that, he says, you know, me and Shaq have a relationship, and he does with most of his guys. And he goes, and that will go well beyond football. So, They'll designate it for a post June 1st release, and the Bucks would incur like a dead cap hit of $9.3 million in 2024, and $17.4 million in 2025. However, it also provides $5 million in cap relief this year. So that's what they'll get out of this, is about $5 million. Which, if we segue here in just a second. Good radio term there.
It is. Good job.
Yeah, thank you.
You learned well.
Well, I was taught well. They certainly can maximize, you know, their situation with the salary cap and to their benefit. We'll tell you how in just a minute because, boy, they got a lot of free agents to sign. First, I want to remind you guys that, you know, for the past 14 years, the skilled pros at May Electric Solar have been installing solar energy systems all over the state of Florida. They provide the most reliable solar equipment, the best installation methods and service, while helping homeowners cut energy costs with an environmentally friendly investment. Well, May Electric Solar uses their own skilled employees, never subcontractors. They have always offered the safest and most reliable equipment. Now May Electric Solar offers a 30-year no-cost equipment replacement and labor warranty. That means for 30 years, May Electric, backed by Solar Insure, means that your roof, your electrical, and equipment replacement is all covered. Solar Insure even survives May Electric Solar, and it's owned by the homeowner with no deductibles or additional fees, and this policy will transfer to new homeowners also with no fees. This is not a blanket insurance policy. In fact, only the best contractors are allowed to be part of its program. May Electric Solar's reputation and history of workmanship has earned this membership, and so to learn more about May Electric Solar's installation and also their 30-year warranty, call 727-819-2862 or visit mayelectricsolar.com. Okay, so I come from Indianapolis bearing good news for Bucks fans. And this isn't like the mailbag guarantee where, you know, everything's answered 100% correctly or your money back, but it's kind of close. The general vibe up there and talking to Jason Light, who still has work to do. I mean, for example, you know, Baker Mayfield's agent was stuck on a tarmac in Denver and still hadn't made his way to Indianapolis, right? Where he's going to talk to Jason's at some point, either, you know, either Tuesday or this week or something. But I got a real distinct feeling, and it means nothing necessarily, but it felt real to me that the Bucks are very confident that they're not only going to re-sign Baker Mayfield, but that they're also going to re-sign Mike Evans, and that, you know, Antoine Winfield Jr. obviously didn't go anywhere. I think that, not to the point of arrogance or cockiness, but like there is a confidence about Jason Light right now that would make you go, they must know some stuff. And he did say, and I wrote about this in the Tampa Bay Times on TampaBay.com, he said it will be a strain, you know, especially with regards to Evans, to try to do all this, because it doesn't stop, you know, with just Mike. I mean, you've got other guys you want to sign, including Chase McLaughlin, you know, who has the career record for field goal percentage. So you got other dudes that you got to get done. But whether it's Antoine Winfield Jr., who you could franchise, I think that's still on the table. You know, obviously the big two are Mayfield and Mike Evans. And Tristan Wirfs is somebody, even additionally, that, you know, they were talking about, I mean, Jason Light was saying, hey, you know, we're not trying to extend him just to extend him. Like, we think he's a really good player. We want to lock him up, you know, and they'd like to do that sooner than later. But the first domino is sort of going to be either the quarterback, the receiver, or both, or, you know, and then the other one I think is going to follow in quickly. Like, it's not a package deal necessarily, but they obviously want to play, you know, with each other as they did a year ago. And sort of like Jason Light says, is look, Mike Evans has caught passes from a ton of quarterbacks. It's not like he can't catch them from anybody else. But if Baker's back, that makes Mike feel better. If Mike is back, that makes Baker feel better. And I think they're all going to be back. That's just my gut feeling after spending a day or so up there in Indianapolis.
Well, that is good news for everyone but Scott.
That's right. Sorry, Scott. Although you did provide nice show prep for us yesterday. Who wants this bum Mayfield? He didn't beat anybody.
Look, it makes complete sense. The Bucks have won, what, four straight, or made the playoffs four straight times, three straight division titles.
Yeah, never happened.
You think the division's not going to be the strongest in football again next year? Maybe better. But you're going to have a second year here for Baker. Obviously, Mike Evans had a great season with Baker. Baker resurrected his career here. I mean, yep. It really makes sense for both of them to stay. Now, you could see a scenario where Mike, we've pretty much thought was back no matter what. Like, the Bucks know the market value. That much money for a quarterback's not out of line. It's the most important position. And otherwise, what are your options if you didn't get Baker Mayfield?
Well, and that's the thing. You know, there's Russell Wilson's lurking about. He's going to get released by the Broncos. Kirk Cousins, that could, you know, end up there in Minnesota as well. I mean, that's who you're talking about, right, as far as veterans go. And you're picking 26 or 27. You don't have a chance to get necessarily one of the top-tier guys unless some medical – something goes wrong with Michael Penix or whatever. So I don't know what you're going to do, but it seems as if – they're pretty confident that they're going to reach whatever number that Baker might have be expecting. And more than that, he loves the organization. He loves his teammates. He wants to be here and he wants to find a way to make that work. And a big way to make it work is to bring Mike Evans back. And that's the one where Jason Light specifically said, yeah, we're going to have to strain maybe to get him in. So,
well, and I think the strain comes is that you have another receiver making big bucks.
$20 million, yeah.
You know, so for a year, because Godwin's contract's up after this year,
right?
You're going to have a lot of money invested in that receiver position. You did this year,
well
too.
Over $40 million. Yeah.
You did this year too, but your quarterback was only making four, and then ultimately six or whatever with incentives.
Right.
Now your quarterback's going to be making close to 40. Now the cap goes up too, but you got to sign Winfield, and you have some other things you got to take care of.
And he wants to do Wirfs, and you know,
yeah.
Also McLaughlin, like there's a laundry list of guys that he needs, you know, slash wants to sign. And
you wonder if there's a little regret in the Bucs organization not signing Mike before last season. Now you didn't know he was going to know Baker was going to do the season he had. You hoped. You didn't know Mike Evans was going to ball out the way he did. You didn't know. I mean, those were a lot of unknowns. And if you were the Bucs, why lock up an older receiver if you might be shopping for another quarterback next year? Because you didn't know Baker was going to successfully resurrect his career. You hoped.
Yeah.
That's, you know, you couldn't have envisioned it any better, really. And it worked out. But now it's going to get tight or squeeze or, you know, whatever, you know, however you want to define it.
Well, I don't have any doubt. They could have saved a lot of money if they had a conviction about extending Mike a year ago. And I don't know what he was asking. I would suggest it's a hell of a lot less than that he's going to get now. And that's why I think, you know, Jason Light used the word, we're going to have to strain a little bit on Evans' contract. In addition to, there's some dead cap money on it already. But this guy is iconic in the sense that, you know, he has an active NFL record still going on with all these consecutive 1,000-yard seasons, but it wasn't just 1,000 yards. I mean, he went out there and put up 1,255 and then, more importantly, 13 touchdowns. That, you know, to lead the NFL is remarkable, and he doesn't appear to be slowing down physically. Sometimes you can see a discernible difference on receivers when they get up to be Mike's age. You really can't see it. But they would have done well to have extended him before now. It's going to cost them. But I think they can do it. I really do. I really got a calm. It's just a feeling I get. I don't know anything. I mean, it's a feeling I get when I'm around Jason sometimes. But there was a calm to him talking about, yeah, you know, we're going to have to strain to get that one done. But, it will, you know, it will. So, I mean, that's, you know, that's a busy offseason just addressing your guys. You know, not really adding anything, but just sort of keeping the band together a little bit. And that's going to eat up, you know, a good portion of the salary cap right in and of itself. Tom Mills was going to fly. I mentioned he was flying to Denver, got delayed with some mechanical stuff or whatever. Chances are Jason was going to meet him, you know, probably sometime Tuesday night, if not, you know, on Wednesday. And I don't know that anything's going to be announced, even if they were to come to an agreement. I think, you know, most teams wait until that negotiating period is over. And then on, you know, March 11th at 4 p.m., that's when you have the Schefterpalooza, when he just starts reeling out all the deals, you know. That's just one after the other. And he's been stocking them up like acorns, and then here they come, you know. And that might be what happens. You know, maybe it's even at the start of free agency. You know, I would not be disappointed necessarily if you know, there's a day or two or even as much as a week, you know, where players actually hit free agency. It's just the risk is there. And, you know, sometimes you have a player do that so that you can determine market value. One person says it's this, one person says it's that. Okay, let's go see. And then, you know, generally somebody wins it. But, yeah, I tend to think they're going to get this done. I just, there's a calm about them. There's an order to it. He has talked to all of them, to all their agents. He doesn't seem rushed by it just because that date's looming, you know, a little closer. Todd Bowles seems a little nervous, however. I think Todd recognizes that, you know, look, I've been in the league a long time, and if it doesn't work out, you got to adapt. And yeah, that sounds great. But like, you know, we know how much he likes Baker Mayfield, and we know how good these guys were together a year ago. They made the offense run, you know. Mike got so much attention that it created a lot of opportunities for other guys as well.
Well, look, I mean, Todd was on the hot seat most likely going into last season and probably was halfway through the season.
No question.
And so, yeah, I want my quarterback back that we were very successful together. I want my star receiver back that we were very successful together.
Absolutely. How about my best defensive player in Antoine Winfield Jr.? How about my best kicker of franchise history, 93 point, whatever it was? I mean, all these guys were major contributors, not just contributors, but like major ones, the major ones. So yeah, you've got to keep this part of the band back together and hope that you add to it. I don't know. There might be some more cuts too. Like they say $5 million with Shaq Barrett. I asked about Carlton Davis, you know, because he's made a lot of money and he's been hurt a lot. And he didn't say yes. But he also didn't say no. It was weird. I'll have to go back and play the sound to tell you exactly how that went. But it was sort of like, yeah, we don't have any plans on that right now. But it wasn't, I don't know, didn't feel as, you know, declarative as I would have been comfortable with. But they're hard at it, man. They're hard work at it, and that's what's going on in Indianapolis. Guys meeting late in the night, going to dinner at Elmo's, you know, whatever it is you got to do. But I think come next, it's a week from this week, I guess.
You're about two weeks
from the start of it. Yeah, the 11th through 13th of March. So they still got time to sign some of these guys. And the one thing though with the franchise tag, they have to make a decision by Tuesday. That's the deadline whether you're going to use your franchise tag or not. And all it means is that, you know, you can still continue to negotiate, but you guarantee the player the average of the top, you know, five players at their position. That's now, because of the new salary cap, a little over $17 million a year for Antoine Winfield, who's the only guy I think that they would consider doing this with, at least in the short term, and then trying to reach a long-term deal with him later. But, so interesting couple of days. Up in Indy, of course, the workouts will begin in earnest. And I think quarterbacks want to say throw on Saturday. I'm not there. I'm back now. But had a chance to sit on some interviews, too, that were interesting. You know, the NFC South is really Bucs South, right? Like, you've got former Buccaneer head coach Raheem Morris now with the Atlanta Falcons. He's competed against these guys both with Atlanta and with the Rams. It took them a long time to get back to becoming a head coach. They're still searching for a quarterback. That's going to be interesting. And then Dave Canales, man, it's just wild to see him on the podium as a head coach when we just knew him for a couple months, coming from Seattle as a coordinator. And, you know, now he takes over Bryce Young. He doesn't have a quarterback problem. He just has a young quarterback. And he said all the things he said to us, you know, pretty much all year long, about, you know, how they're going to take care of the football and the culture he's built, you know, the trust that he built with this team. You know, that'll continue, and he'll have to do it in Carolina. But I think he'll do well if as long as the owner kind of stays out of it. I don't know how meddling, you know, that can get up there. But It was interesting to see, you know, there's Raheem, generation apart, obviously, as far as coaching here, but there's Raheem, there's Dave Canales, and then, oh, yeah, by the way, over there is John Lynch, the GM of the 49ers. Like, you see everybody, but that was pretty cool.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So what happened? I go out of town and I don't get to watch the Lightning on this road trip. They were 2-0, and then it kind of...
Well, Rick, no one really got to see the Lightning tonight because the power went out in Philadelphia.
Really? In the arena?
Yes. Yeah, so a transformer at the arena essentially blew up or stopped working, whatever it was. Yeah. It was about 5 minutes into the game, 6 minutes into the game, before the first media timeout. The Flyers were already up 1-0, but... Yeah, the power went out, and which knocked all the television and the radio broadcast out. Because Jeez. Press row was dark. There was no power there.
Gosh.
But there was enough light in the arena. They had some of the lights and all that were not affected by it, so they were able to play. They asked the goalies, can you see the puck enough? I mean, before they resumed it, there was a little pause there, and they checked, and the goalie said, we're good. And so they kept playing without the game being televised or broadcast on radio, although Dave Michigan got on the phone fairly quickly. TV was a little harder to get back on. So, no, a lot of people didn't see it, although the Lightning were tied 1-1 going to the third and then had a bad third period. Gave up 3 goals in the first 7 minutes, and that was pretty much the game at that point. So,
I'm not sure Vassy was seeing it at that point. But
yeah, John Cooper said, look, they played 8 good periods on this road trip.
Yeah, that's fair.
Didn't play a good third, and they didn't.
Yeah, and they got 4 points, which is nice, but they got to come home. They got a tough homestand now, don't they?
Well, no, actually, it's they have 5 games over 2+ weeks.
Oh, they got a bunch of days off. That's right.
Right, yeah. So they play Buffalo Thursday, Montreal Saturday. Then they get all the way off till next Thursday where they play the Rangers.
Wow. Well, that can be good for injuries. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Certainly get some guys back healthy. You can practice, which teams don't normally do or get a chance to do.
They'll have some off days and some practice time, but it's also going to be where all these teams that we've been talking about that have games in hand behind them are going to start playing those games in hand.
That's true. So, and they could catch up potentially.
If they're winning it, they may catch it, but we'll kind of have a better idea where the Lightning stand in another week or two. Although the trade deadline will be a week from Friday. So,
and I expect them to do something there.
Oh, I do too. I think, I mean, they freed up. They didn't free up cap. Mikhail Sergachev got hurt. That gives them another $8.5 million under the cap they could spend if they choose.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't even planning on doing anything, and now they can actually.
Well, I wouldn't say they weren't planning. I mean, Julien Brisebois always says it's going to be tough. It's money in, money out, and then finds a way to trade for like 3 players every year. It's incredible.
He has done that. Yeah.
So, I mean, I think they were probably going to do something. Well, it has been so far. So.
Well, I mean, I think they got to look to defense, right? That's one of the areas.
They definitely need a left-handed shot defenseman to replace Sergachev, essentially.
Yeah.
The obvious, or the one that seems to be, I don't want to say, because it's not easy, because the hard part is the Lightning don't have first-round draft picks this year or next year.
Right.
So it's what kind of assets do you have? But apparently Noah Hanifin, who is a... pending unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. Left-handed shot defenseman in Calgary, who's probably going to sell. Apparently would prefer to go to the Lightning and has made that known.
That's what's been
reported. So he would like to come to the Lightning. He's just under $5 million.
Have at it, man.
So if you could trade for him, you still have another $3.5 million you could play with to go get another piece.
Sweet.
But obviously you have to have the assets. You got to have the prospects or whatever draft picks you still have remaining, because Julien Brisebois pretty much traded, you know, years worth of them. But that's how you win titles.
That's what it's all about, babe. So, you know.
But the other funny part about the power going out in Philly today is the Flyers put out a tweet before the game. Picture of part of Philadelphia, and it says, "Bring the electricity."
Is the only other worst place to have it go out would be like Amalie Arena where the Bolts play.
Maybe,
but yeah,
they actually put a tweet, bring the electricity.
Yeah.
They forgot.
They call the Rays fans the Thunder, not the Bolts, but, you know, that's pretty cool. Wow.
So they were getting roasted for that during the game after.
Yeah, it's not a good social media post right there.
I mean, who would have thought that would have happened? I mean, I didn't know the 16th Street substation moved up there. Remember the Rays used to have
this. Yeah, it used to always get knocked out every time. Yeah.
And then the lights
old 16th Street substation.
It would never really knock it out. It would just flicker.
Reset.
But then the old lights that weren't LED took like 20 minutes to relight back up at full strength to play
basketball. Right, so right.
You'd have that delay.
Well, at least they continued playing. I mean,
yeah.
For what it's worth.
But yeah, they lose wild. 6-2. Brandon Hagel.
Close game, though, right? Until the fourth? Or
it was 1-1 going to the third. Yeah, 1-1 going to the third, and then they gave up those three goals in the first 7 minutes. And
boom, 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 yeah.
Yeah. John Cooper pulled Andre Vasilevskiy with more than 9 minutes remaining. And actually got
and
a goal.
Scored a goal, right?
Yeah, got a goal with after
4-2, you're back in it. I mean, mm-hmm. You are. You're back in it at 4-2.
Yeah, 4-2. Then they gave up a goal less than a minute later. So
now you're not in it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Lightning will be off today, but like I said, the Sabres and then the Canadiens Thursday, Saturday, you need to win both those games.
A couple of winnable games, yeah, right there.
I mean, the road trip, it's always disappointing when you lose the last game.
But when you win the first two.
But if you take two out of every three on a road, you're more than happy with that.
You're golden, yeah.
So, I mean, you know, you hated that, as John Cooper said, you had 8 good periods, and then you kind of messed up the last
fluffed
one.
Fluffed off one, yeah. Well,
but if you take care of business this week and beat both Buffalo and Montreal,
yeah,
it's okay.
Overall, they've been playing much better. I mean, that's undeniable. Mm-hmm. You know, bad homestand, but
now, Brendan Hagel extended his career-long point streak to 14 games. That's tied for the second longest in Lightning history.
Whew, man! And Vasi still leads the league in scoring, I assume.
Well, not Vazzy, but Cooch does.
Or Vazzy. Did I say Vazzy? Now there's a story.
That would be a story. That'd be breaking news.
Yeah. Well, you know, those goaltenders, they do want to score.
Yeah, Cooch did get an assist on Stamkos' goal in the third.
So Cooch is still
103.
Yeah, 103 point. Wow. What a year. Like to see him. I don't think he's going to win it, but he definitely should get all the consideration in the world.
He's starting to get a little more talked about in the national media circles as far as MVP race.
Well, he should.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, but should.
Whether it was the All-Star game, the fact that he's right, like, I don't know that he's going to get the full shake that some other team might get played, you know.
Well, I think for him to win it, they need to make the playoffs.
They got to make the playoffs.
You know, they're still in that second wild card spot right now. So
sure, and people are waiting to see what they do. But if they get there, someone's got to deal with him. he's been unbelievable this year. So he deserves it. But, you know, how many games you got left? Like maybe 20?
21. This was game 61 21. Tonight. So yeah, right. 21 games remaining.
We're wrapping it up fast.
Yeah, they're three quarters of the way through the season. So,
wow, that's crazy. And then, of course, the second season begins, and that lasts about 3 months as well.
I mean, today's what, February 28th? The regular season for the Lightning ends April 17th. So
is today February 28th? It's leap year this year, right?
Well, that'd be tomorrow, the 29th. But yes, today is the 28th.
Wow. Huh.
Yeah,
so almost March.
Day. Yep.
Almost March, yeah. I love the people born on leap year. You know, you're like 4 years old. I wonder, do you celebrate, if you're born on leap year, Can you go either way? Can you celebrate it on March 1st, or does it have to be like February 28th? I wonder how that goes.
I would think it's March 1st, but you know, if I was a kid, I'd have been pushing for February 28th if I was.
Yeah, I want my presents, man. Yeah. That's right. Or your parents could say, hey, we're only going to celebrate once every 4 years when your actual birthday comes. Sorry, kid.
That's pretty cruel.
Yeah, that would be low rent. Anyway, well, we'll be back tomorrow to update you on what goes on up there in crazy Indianapolis. I don't know that anything's imminent with any of these guys, but those meetings are continuing, and it wouldn't surprise me if we start seeing more players around the league. They're going to be released, as well as, you know, the Bucks need to decide if they're going to use their franchise tag or not. So a lot of news will be coming out of Indianapolis, and you know, keep it at the Tampa Bay Times and on TampaBay.com for the latest. For Steve Verstick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.